This episode of the Halloween Podcast is brought to you by Acorns, the app that invests your change automatically. If you're like me, you have zero inside of your savings for future you. What Acorns does is rounds up all of your debit card purchases and invests that change for you automatically. I got started months ago and my account is slowly growing for future me. I didn't even notice it coming out of my bank account. It's that subtle. Support the Halloween Podcast by signing up using our link. You get a $5 sign-on bonus, and so do we. Just go to thehalloweenpodcast.com/acorns, click on the banner, and get signed up. That's thehalloweenpodcast.com/acorns. Now let's get the show started. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Halloween Podcast. I am your host, Lyle Perez, and I'm sorry if I sound a little different. I am a little bit under the weather, but it's not coronavirus, I swear. It is something else. I have no idea. But I'm here. I want to record a show for you guys. Hopefully my voice isn't too distracting. So I'm going to continue my series on more scary stories to tell in the dark. Those are getting a good response, so I'm just going to keep doing those until I get other stuff into the can. And the Halloween Podcast is going to be back full force very, very soon. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about some phantom ships. I don't know much about phantom ships. I mean, I know they're out there. I'm assuming maybe I should do a show about them someday. I don't know. Let me know if you guys want to hear about some phantom ships, other than this story, of course. But I remember reading the book when I was doing all of these notes, and I got up to this story. This is like the fifth story, and it just didn't hold my attention at all. I don't know why. Maybe I'm not a fan of phantom ships. You would think like ghost pirate ships would be awesome, but I don't know. All right, so this one takes place in Galveston, Texas. The tale goes that in one night in October 1864, a Confederate blockade runner, like a fast-moving ship, had slipped by Union gunboats. We're talking like we're talking about the Civil War stuff. 1864. I should know it by now because I'm in Tennessee, and Tennessee is a really big Civil War area. We have Shiloh Park literally 10 minutes away. It's really cool. I don't want to get far into it, but it's really, Shiloh is awesome. I want to keep going back, but stupid coronavirus. All right. So it was carrying some essential cargo from the South. The master of the vessel, Lewis Billings, was about to drop anchor when he heard a cry from one of the crew members. He went over to see what was going on. They saw a real old ship. I'm guessing this was 1864, so the ship had to have been really, really old, like, I don't know, 1300s or so. I don't know. These ships would all look the same to me, so I don't know what it would mean by really old ship. Anyways, this ship had a black flag heading toward them. It looked like it was ablaze with a pale blue light. So it was like illuminating blue light, like it was on fire almost. They saw that the crew on the ship was just minding their own business, pulling ropes, working as if the small Confederate blockade runner wasn't even there. They said that the man's faces look like those of the dead. The man who had cried out fell to his knees and began saying a prayer. Lewis started yelling to his crew, but as soon as he did that, the ghost ship, like, vanished, dissipated. Who knows? They blinked and it was gone. I don't know. That's... If you know me from the Halloween podcast, you know I have this weird thing about how ghosts exit. Do they dissipate into nothing? Do they vanish? Do you close your eyes, open them, and they're gone? Like, I don't know. That's just one of those mysteries. It said that Lewis Billings saw... it said that what he saw was a ghost ship of Jean Lafitte, a pirate whose ship sank off Galveston Island in 1821 or 1822, somewhere around there. This ghost ship was seen again in 1892. So who doesn't like a good Civil War ghost story? I do. My favorite one that I heard was, like, I might be misremembering the story, but there'd be people inside of, like, a building, an old Civil War building, and that building used to be, like, a hospital during the Civil War. They get into the elevator, they push the button for the lobby, and then it just, like, passes the lobby, and it goes down to the basement. The doors open, and there's, like, this horrific scene of wounded Civil War soldiers. There's surgery going on. It's really creepy. And then the doors close, and then they go back up to the lobby, and the people inside of the elevator go, "What was that?" That's my favorite story that I've heard from, like, Civil War Gettysburg stuff. I really should look up the story and maybe cover it someday. So where does this weird blue light come from? It's based on an article from December 17th, 1892, the same year that the ship was supposedly seen again. This article appeared in the Champion newspaper from Downey, California. I did a pretty extensive search for this newspaper article. I couldn't find anything. I couldn't even find anything on the newspaper Champion out there. Out of Downey, California, I couldn't find it. I did find newspapers called the Daily Southeast News and Downey Champion. That was from Downey, California, but the publication dates on there are from 1976 to 1984. So the dates don't really fit the article of 1892. Luckily for me, there's more to the source. This article was reprinted in a book titled New Tales of American Phantom Ships by Henry W. Splinter. I was able to find this book and saw the real reference of a weird blue light. I don't think I mentioned that the story that we're covering today is a weird blue light, but it is a weird blue light, the fifth story in More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So according to the section titled Pirate Ghost Ships at Galveston, a ghost ship that's manned by pirates is rare. In about 1821, I'm not French, I don't know how to pronounce these things, Lafitte vessel, the pirate was carrying 7 million in gold, jewels, and goods. The vessel was near Galveston when, in the midst of a drunken riot, it was sunk. Must have been some drunken riot, man. Many of the crew went down with the ship. That's pretty sad. So that's the story behind the ghost ship itself, the one that had the blue light. Why it had the blue light now, I'm not sure. The next part, I have it written on my notes that the next part is interesting, so I'm going to count on past Lyle that, because I really don't remember these notes, guys. Pretty soon we're going to get to somewhere I have to do new notes, so it will be more fresh in my mind. In 1892, Eben McLaughlin was sailing between Galveston and Veracruz. When he came to the port, he had a strange story to tell. He told his story with terror. He reported that he encountered a vessel with a strange build. It was filled with men who looked like they were dead. Of course, the people he told laughed at him. Strangely enough, on that same day, Erik Andersen, the captain of a Norwegian ship, the Freya Hilda, came into port. He was a man of integrity. He shared a story that seemed to support Laughlin's story. Andersen had just landed and had no previous knowledge of McLaughlin's story. At early dusk, Andersen was out on his ship when a sailing vessel appeared rushing down to him. He shouted at the man behind the wheel to turn the head of the vessel towards the wind. But before the man could obey the order, the ship had missed them by about 10 feet. When the ship passed him, he peered onto the deck and saw the crew. They didn't at all seem worried about what had happened. They were all calm, and none of them even looked over at the Freya Hilda. They didn't even look at his boat, as though it wasn't even there. Like obviously they're ghosts and some sort of time slip that they can't even see each other. Another thing he noticed was that the ship was illuminating this strange light. It outlined every piece of the ship, but it didn't cast a shadow. The captain reprimanded the man at the wheel for his carelessness, for allowing the collision to happen. The man told Andersen that the vessel seemed to have just appeared at their bows. I'm not sure what bows is. Maybe it's their back. I don't know. Ship talk. Captain Andersen described the vessel as an old-fashioned schooner with a black hull. It passed by so fast that one second it was there, and the other it was gone. When the port officials heard Anderson's story, they immediately sent telegrams to New Orleans and Key West to see if anyone knows such a vessel. Their answers came back with a negative. More telegrams were sent to different locations, but no one knew anything about this vessel. After a while, a call came in from a little port in Santa Maria. What they said was just as mysterious as this vessel. They said that a vessel that matches that description had been seen every few years. Though every effort has been made to try to figure out any information about this vessel, nothing has ever been found. So it's kind of a problem for authorities. No crew of this ship has ever come forward, and any attempt to reach the vessel has failed. As soon as it's visible, ships have tried to reach it, but it disappears before the ship even reaches the mysterious vessel. It was thought to continue investigating this mysterious vessel quietly, so authorities told McLaughlin and the crew to keep it quiet. They did, until they all agreed that they experienced something supernatural, and then the story went everywhere. The pirate ship was seen again at Gavstown. A group of young people were out enjoying a cruise on the yacht Rosemary. They dropped anchor 2 miles from shore when the vessel passed them by. They reported that she was ablaze with a pale blue light that didn't cast a shadow. It's always about that weird blue light. They heard voices and clashes of arms and even shrieks of people being thrown overboard. When word got out that the vessel was seen, every available craft was sent scouting for it. They couldn't find a single trace of it. Toward the end of the section, the reporter interviews an old sea captain by the name of Lewis Billings. Sound familiar? It's the person from Schwartz's story. He says that the Pride helped him escape the federal gunboats at Gavstown in 1864. The captain says, I'm going to quote this because it's good. I never told it before for fear of being laughed at, but that vessel helped me to run the blockade in 64, though she scared me so bad in doing it. I did not thank her for it. It was late one October evening that I sighted the federal boats lying off the harbor here, and I was wondering what they meant by taking no notice of me. When I saw that they were firing at a foretopsail schooner, about half mile distance, which was flying a big black flag and taking no more notice of a peppering she was getting than a duck of a shower, but was apparently lying motionless, though she was carrying a full head of canvases, and the wind was blowing something that wasn't very unlikely a gal and a still one. He really does paint an awesome picture. If you want to read this story, I'll post the link to where I found it on the show notes for you guys. But man, what a sight to see. I'm not sure if it mentions the blue light in this story, but Schwartz sure did mention it in his. He might have gotten that out of one of those other accounts and added it to his story. I don't know. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. And before I let you go, I want to let you know that we now have a website. It's thehalloweenpodcast.com. I don't have much up there because, I mean, a website for a podcast? What else can I put up there? But I'm trying to market the Halloween podcast more. I do want to come out with like merchandise so people can get the Halloween podcast t-shirts and all of those sorts of things. I'm working on it little by little. I'm trying to do all of the designs myself. I am not a designer, but I'm doing the best I can. I designed the website, all of the little logo things that you guys have been seeing on the Facebook page, all of those, I do all of those. So I'm gonna do what I can to try to come up with like stickers, give out free stickers for you guys. I want to do a lot more of that stuff because I think 2020, even though COVID's here and people are freaking out over these huge, I don't know, what are they, bees? I don't know, I haven't seen any yet. but things are going crazy here in 2020, so the Halloween podcast is just going to follow suit. So yeah, go check out the website, thehalloweenpodcast.com. Support our sponsors. I think I did Acorns this time around, so if you don't have an Acorns account, you want to support the Halloween podcast, by all means, sign up. It's really cool. All they do is, like, if you spend $10.42 at the store, they will invest 68 cents into like a portfolio for you. And honestly, I've been doing it for months now. I don't even notice when they take out, like when they round things up. I think sometimes I spend 99 cents on something and they'll take out a penny. I don't, who's going to notice a penny? But all of that stuff does help the Halloween podcast continue. It helps with hosting, all of that good stuff. So if you want to contact us in any way, you can go ahead and send me an email at thehalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thehalloweenpod. If you'd like to support the show, you can do it a couple of different ways. You can go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever. Leave us a 5-star review. Those do help. You can become a Patreon supporter. Get some extra content. I do have some extra content up there that never got onto the feed. So if you want to go check it out, go to patreon.com/thehalloweenpod. Get signed up. Show us a little bit of love. We're also on Twitter at thehalloweenpod. So thank you guys again so much for listening, and I will see you next time. Have a good night.